In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. It strikes me that depending on where you live, wilderness might mean different things. In fact, wilderness can mean almost opposite types of places depending on where you live. If you are talking about the Alaskan wilderness, you might think of lots of forests, water, a lot of snow in the winter, certain kinds of predators, certain kinds of dangers of being in that kind of wilderness. But if you're thinking of the wilderness in which Jesus was, it's probably much more open. Not a lot of trees, maybe some hills, some rocks, some sand, some dirt. Different kinds of predators, different kinds of dangers. But in both of those kinds of wilderness, whether you can see a far distance in the desert or you can't see very far at all because you're in a pine forest, in both of those kinds of wilderness, if you don't know the way out, if you can't see where you're going, if you don't know where the safe place is on the other side of that desert or on the other side of that forest, in both of those kinds of wilderness, you can get lost and you can die. You need someone to show you the way out. You need someone to open up a path for you so you know which direction you should go to get to safety, to get to food and water and shelter. Jesus goes into the wilderness, and he does go into the physical wilderness outside on the other side of the Jordan River. He goes into the physical wilderness in which the people of Israel wandered for 40 years, but he also goes into a spiritual wilderness, a wilderness that has consumed this world from the time of Adam and Eve. God put Adam and Eve in a garden to work it and to tend it and to have dominion over it. And as far as I know, no one is ever worried about surviving in a garden. At least if it's your garden. Not too many predators in the garden, not too many dangers. You don't feel like you're in danger if you're in a garden. You feel safe, sort of meditative. Perhaps if you like gardening. No one feels like they're in danger in a garden, but Adam and Eve, they don't listen to the voice of their Creator who put them into that garden. They listen to the voice of the tempter. The tempter who tells them that what God has said isn't the whole story. What God has said isn't quite true. And they listen to that voice instead of the voice of their Creator. And then Eve looks for herself. She decides whether what God has said is true or false. She decides whether that tree, the fruit of that tree, is good for eating. Has no bearing on what God has said. She decides. They listen to the voice of the tempter. And what happens to the creation because of their sin and their rebellion against God's word? It's not just spiritual, as if spiritual things are not connected to material things, as if our spirits are not connected to the creation into which they have been put. What happens to the creation because of their sin? It's cursed. The ground itself is cursed. God says to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Adam and Eve had made of the garden into which God had put them a wilderness of thorns and thistles, of sin and of death, a wilderness in which the devil hold sway. And Jesus goes out into that wilderness, physical wilderness and spiritual wilderness. He goes out into that wilderness to make a way. He goes into that wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's why the Spirit takes him out there. After his baptism, he's taken into the wilderness in order that he would be tempted by the devil, in order to begin his work of restoring a wilderness creation. He makes a way by overcoming the block that the devil had put up. The way that the devil had blocked, Jesus comes to clear it. The only one who has ever been fully successful against the temptations of the devil is Jesus, your Lord. He will not listen to the voice of the tempter. He will not be any other kind of son than the Son of the Father. He will only listen to the voice of his Father, and because of that, he will not be tempted. He will not give in to temptation. He's tempted, but he does not give in to it. He overcomes him by the word of God. He believes every word that comes from the mouth of God, and he does not believe the words of the tempter. He doesn't decide for himself what he thinks is good as a man. He receives from his Father what is good. The devil tempts him by asking him to do something that will force God to send his angels to serve him, to keep him from striking his foot against a stone. Jesus refuses that temptation, but what does God do? At the end, angels are ministering to him. Jesus refuses to take. Instead, he receives. Jesus makes a way in the wilderness for those who are lost in the wilderness. But he does more than make a way. He doesn't just come down to earth to make a way and then say, have at it, follow the path I've made. If you get to the end successfully, everything will be okay. Human beings do not have a good track record of following the instructions of God. God, in fact, had brought the people and told them, I'm bringing you out of Egypt into the land that I promised to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm bringing you to the land. They get right up against the edge of the land and they say, don't think we want to go in there. God may not give us the land in the face of these people who seem stronger and more powerful and bigger and more numerous than we are. They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't listen to his voice. They listened to other voices. They voted against Joshua and Caleb entering into the land of promise. God said, here it is, and they said, no. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for each day that the spies were in the land. Moses, who had led them, he disobeyed God's word, and he wasn't able to enter into the land of promise, and so God gave him someone else, Joshua, to lead them in, to bring them into that land, Yahshua. So it is that our Joshua, our Yahshua, our Jesus, he doesn't just say, here it is, follow this path, go into the land. He doesn't just come down from heaven to make a way or to show us the way. He comes down from heaven to be the way. He doesn't just make a way, he is the way. Jesus is the way, and we are not just followers of him, but we are members of his body. So where Jesus goes, the promise is that you will also follow. Where Jesus goes, you will go as members of his body. Jesus has passed through the wilderness of this world. He's made a way by his death and resurrection, and he brings you along with him. He brings you along with him. Out of the wilderness of this world, out of sin and death and the devil, and into the resurrection and the glory of the promised land that lasts forever. The eternal land of promise in the new creation. This is what Jesus does for you. He not only makes a way, but he leads you along the way. He speaks to you like God spoke to the people through Moses. He gives you his word like God gave his word to the people. And then he feeds you in the midst of the wilderness. He fed the people of Israel with manna from heaven. Now he gives you, Jesus does, his own body and blood, the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. We're still in the wilderness. We know we're still in the wilderness because sin, death, and the devil are still around us. We still feel their weight. We still experience temptation. We still die as every person since Adam has died. We don't know exactly where we are in the wilderness. Sometimes it's a little disconcerting. It's confusing. We can be shaken. We might not know exactly which direction to go. We don't know how far along the path we are. We don't know exactly where it is that we are until we reach the end of it. We haven't been told those sorts of things, but we have a promise. We have a promise that no matter where we are, no matter how far along, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves, even sometimes we feel lost in the wilderness of this world, we have a Lord who is bringing us to the end. A Lord who will bring us out of the wilderness. A Lord who feeds us so that and speaks to us so that we will know his voice and have his life. And he will bring us out of the wilderness that Adam and Eve made of the garden and that we have been contributing to ever since. And he will bring us to that tree of life. The tree of life that was in the midst of the garden, and now the Revelation says is in the midst of a city. Fruit bearing every month, leaves for the healing of the nations. Your Lord will bring you there. He will do what he said. His promise is good. So wherever you are, however far along the path we are in the wilderness of this world, you have a Lord, and he is alive. And his promise is good. As we follow him, he will bring us to the end, bring us to that glorious day in that eternal land of promise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace of God, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.